Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon. Today we continue our lifestyle article. We are on page 11, and it's July 3rd. We hope that you're having a great day. Back in the studio with me, I have two wonderful panelists. First, welcome back, Zach.
Good to be back. Thank you so much for having me.
Zach, what did we discuss on yesterday?
Well, we're in our lifestyle feature, and we were discussing specifically spiritual depth, and we kind of took a deep look at roots and what they mean in our own lives.
We did. It's important. We went through a lot of stuff yesterday, and if you weren't able to listen to the program, I hope you can go back and listen to it, because it's really meaningful, this topic about spiritual depth and the dry seasons we go through in life. We all face that, and we need help. We need to be vulnerable, and that's a key point. Tell someone and reach out and get help. There's other things we can do as well. Also, welcome back, Manya.
Hi, I'm glad to be here.
Manya, what was something from yesterday that you would like to highlight?
I really liked our discussion about thinking about things that matter. Because it's so easy to get caught up in our days and be busy, suppress our feelings. So I think it's really nice to just settle down and really think about things that matter.
Yeah, and you can ask yourself this question, you know, do you ever think about what you think about? You know,
that's deep. Talking about deep.
In other words, what are your thoughts like? Sometimes we just let our minds go crazy in all different directions and we get into negativity, and then the next thing we know it, we're discouraged, and we need to stop ourselves. We need to really be concerned about our thoughts.
I think that's a great point because, you know, for me, I often think, oh, well, I'm in a bad mood. It must be my circumstances. Mm-hmm. But actually, it could just be my own thought life.
And how you perceive things. And
right.
You may not be perceiving things in the right way at all. You know, I've done that so many times. Whatever is in my mind is not even right, and you're focused on that. And so you can really get off on the wrong track. Today, we are switching gears. We're talking about communication. The title of this article today, this topic today, is A Little Conversation, Please. And I think maybe this is a play off of an old song called A Little Less Conversation, which Elvis Presley sang. And I have to bring that up. I'm from the hometown of Elvis Presley in Memphis, Tennessee, so I had to bring that up, get that in a little bit. But actually, that's what I thought of when I read this article, when I read the title here, because we do need to think about how we communicate, especially in this day and age. Now, this article, of course, is going to talk a lot about, you know, technology that plays a part, but really just communication in general. And we, you know, I think because of technology, Zach, it has changed the way we communicate, of course.
I think you're right. You know, so much of our communication has kind of, you know, it's shaped by the medium and the medias that we use. And so nowadays with emojis or with, you know, text messaging and just things constantly changing, it's very easy to miss out on the quality that conversation just brings.
All right. So let's just be honest here. Yesterday we talked about being vulnerable. Do you actually enjoy texting, or is it just a necessary evil, so to speak? How about you, Manya?
I enjoy texting with my friends, and It's great to keep in touch with people who live very far away from you. But overall, I think I miss talking to people in person. I miss hearing people's tone of voice and hearing their voices.
Tone is important. You can't always get that in a text, which kind of drives me crazy. But anyway, how about you, Zach?
That's a great point. I like texting. I think it's a great substitute for, you know, what could be a really lengthy conversation, and you just need to kind of, you need something. But at the same time, texting can kind of be in your face, and you have to always be answering. And so there are, I think, flaws too.
Yeah. Well, I definitely am not a huge fan of texting because you don't get the tone. And sometimes you feel like, and I type the wrong thing, so you're like, oh, I have to go back and like correct that. I'm like, it would be easier just to call, but then I don't necessarily want to call either. I like face-to-face interaction the best, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Let me ask you, do you like when people leave those little audio messages in a text message?
I don't get those really often, but those are nice sometimes. And I should probably do those more. Yeah, just do a voice recording.
Do you, Manya?
I don't.
Why not?
Because you can't see the face. Even though I just said I like talking on the phone, sometimes it is really strange to have a very one-sided conversation where one person talks, and then, you talk.
Right, yeah.
Oh, interesting. That's true.
Yeah.
There's no back and forth.
I think face-to-face is best, but we can't always do that. But sometimes the problem, I think, is we get to where we can prefer, like, not talking to people face-to-face, and that can be an issue in some situations. Well, we are on page 11 today, so if you have your magazine or your digital device, you can follow along as we have our first reading for today.
A little conversation, please. I am missing wit today. I miss hearing friendly banter, lively repartee, and the clever twist of a phrase. There's a playfulness to conversation that is slowly disappearing. But then, conversation itself is disappearing. There is a growing brevity to our conversations today. They tend to be condensed, telegraphic. We're all in a hurry, multitasking. It's not easy doing six things at once, and none of them well. It's nearly an imposition to ask for someone's time and presence. Plus, who needs a face-to-face when you've probably already covered the nuts and bolts of what you needed to say in an email, Facebook message or text, or an emoji, or a combination thereof?
All right, we are talking about a little conversation, please. I think we actually want to say we need a lot of conversation because people aren't doing that enough, at least face-to-face. They're texting and all of that, of course. Sorry to be so negative about texting. Texting is great in a lot of ways, but I'm just venting a little bit there. Yesterday we learned about being vulnerable, so I'm being vulnerable with all of you. But we are here on page 11. And how do we start this off, Zach?
Well, he says that he is missing wit. And so wit is kind of clever conversation or clever phrases and observations. Specifically here, he's talking about banter.
Are you a witty person? Would you describe yourself as that?
I would not describe myself as a witty person. I think you've got to be pretty quick on your feet and just kind of always have a joke ready.
Right at the right time, right? Some people can do that. And that's fun to be around people like that. And the writer here, her name is Lori, she says she misses hearing friendly banter, and sometimes we use this when we're at work. You know, we like to have office banter. What is banter?
Banter is a conversation that is funny and not serious.
All right. And we need that sometimes, right? Just kind of chit-chatting and having a good time. And then there's another word here they use, Zach.
Right, so he's kind of explaining his banter or lively repartee, and so it's just more of that kind of quick-witted comments, so to speak.
All right, and so a lot of words here to describe how you can talk and so forth. You can be clever, you can be witty, and, you know, the important thing is that you just have conversations with people.
Well, and I think, too, when you're hearing people be witty, that's a sure sign that there's quality conversation and that there's this real participation for those that are talking, that there's quality conversation going on.
And there's a playfulness to conversation. And the writer here says that that's kind of disappearing. And, you know, conversation itself is even disappearing in a way because people, they are communicating maybe more than ever, but in a different way.
Yes, it's a very disconnected kind of
that's a good word,
conversation where you're still talking, but everybody's interpreting the messages so differently. If you think about a group chat, Everybody can look at that message and read it in a completely different tone or way.
And then you have to clarify.
Right.
It takes more time. And so there is a certain kind of playfulness to conversation. Do you usually think of conversation in those terms, Zach?
Sure. You know, I think conversation is, you want to make sure at the core is connection.
Yeah.
And that you really are connecting with the person that you're speaking with.
Connecting is key. And next, in the following paragraph, it talks about a growing brevity to our conversations today. We can be really brief, you know. We just get to the point. Now, when you're working, you may want to do that because you're working on a lot of things. But sometimes when you are brief, you leave out things. I find that about myself. You're trying to get to the point, but you aren't really giving people all of the information. And so in the long run, you're actually probably going to take up more time on you.
Yes, it's like leaving the details out of a story. It's kind of taking the playfulness out of a conversation and just getting to the meat and bones.
Right. And so these conversations, they tend to be condensed. They're shorter than usual. Or even telegraphic. That's an interesting way of describing it, Zach.
It is. I wouldn't really use this word too much,
no.
But I think it does kind of fit the context very well here. Telegraphic is kind of just refers to, it's very short, it's to the point.
Like a telegram. Remember,
exactly.
They used to use those.
Way back when. I've never used one.
Me either.
Yeah, but the point is made here that it's just very short and to the point.
So why is this happening? We're all in a hurry, we're multitasking, and it's not easy to do all of this stuff. So you send a quick text and you're working on something, and this is our lives these days.
Right. And so here, you know, you start to see that these things, whether it's being distracted or you're trying to just do too many things at once, you're going to lose the quality of conversation.
Mm.
And that's probably a sure sign that you're losing the quality of other things in life.
That is an excellent point. Quality over quantity. We have so much going on, but what about the quality? This even ties into what we talked about yesterday with spiritual depth, you know, and what's the quality of our lives, right? And what's the quality of our conversations? We need to think about that and how can we improve in that area.
Certainly, and I think that, you know, conversation and why we're reading about that today and that it's linked to yesterday's article on spiritual depth, that conversation is really a tool for us to be able to reach those depths and to kind of plant those deep roots.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of roots in my life, metaphorically that is, I think of all the people and who I have to communicate with.
And, you know, I like what she says here in this next sentence, which we've already touched on a bit. It's not easy to do six things at once. And none of them well. We can all relate to that. We've talked about multitasking at different points in Advance Magazine. And yes, of course, in the day and age that we live, we probably need to multitask. But maybe there's a downside to it. And maybe it's that we don't do things well because we're doing too many things. Do you ever feel that way in your life, Manya?
Sometimes. Busyness sometimes feels like false significance.
Ooh, that's a big subject, yeah.
Right.
What do you mean by that?
If I'm talking to someone and I say, I'm so busy, I have this to do, I have that to do, and then you feel very important in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow, I have so much to do. But then you kind of sacrifice those other things,
yeah,
the conversations, the relationships, because you're so busy doing other things.
Which are, those other things may be much more important. And we can wear busyness like a badge, right? Like, look at me, I'm busy. But actually that can be a really bad thing if you're neglecting things that are more important.
Well, so I guess we're talking about priority, prioritizing. And, you know, for me, I think I try to remember, you know, people need to be the priority.
That's true. And sometimes we forget that. And at the same time, we do have to get things done. We can't, you know, talk to people all day long necessarily unless you have that opportunity. But sometimes we need to put our work aside and listen to people, talk to people, communicate. So she describes it as an imposition. It's nearly an imposition to ask for someone's time and presence. Wow, that's a pretty sad state when it becomes an imposition.
Right, because here that just kind of means a false expectation kind of lording that over someone, even though they don't really want to do that or it's not convenient for them.
Yeah, it's like you're inconveniencing someone by asking them to stop and talk to you.
Right.
And that's kind of sad. We can feel that way sometimes when we're working or we're busy, but we need to learn to put people before the things we're doing whenever possible. Plus, who needs a face-to-face conversation when you've probably already covered the nuts and bolts in a text or in a Facebook message?
All right, we're introduced to this kind of an interesting phrase under more information, kind of the nuts and bolts, which is just referring to the basics, the practical facts about something, and we'll use that. You know, I don't hear it too often, but occasionally it's just trying to get at the main idea.
Yeah, it's a good phrase to know. All right, and so you may have covered the main points in an earlier message or an email or whatever, or a combination of all of those things, because let's face it, we're using a lot of different chatting platforms. There are many different ways to communicate. So maybe you've already been communicating with people in that way, and so you don't feel the need to have that face-to-face conversation, but you're losing out, right?
I think it's also important here that we just keep in mind being trying to read a situation correctly and interpreting it appropriately. So if you're writing a professional or a business email, you want to try to communicate what you need to communicate, but then recognizing, okay, this is one of those times that let's just go and have a chat or just little banter, chit-chat, just to be able to kind of, you know, release and take a break and just trying to recognize those social situations as appropriate as possible.
And the less we do it, I think a lot of people don't know how to do it anymore. I hear people describe it as being awkward. They don't know what to say.
They don't know how to have face-to-face conversations. That's a really good point. And some, it's easier to just send a text.
They link that word awkward small talk, right?
Yeah.
Are you good at small talk? Are you not? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's true.
Kind of a stigma these days.
All right. Well, we want to have conversations that are delightful. So let's look at that in our next reading for today.
Delightful conversation. Conversation isn't always about need. Sometimes it's about delight. As we were led to our seats at a restaurant, we passed an alcove with low lights, beautiful decor, and four different couples. Three of the four couples were radiant, basking in the glow of their cell phones. I've never understood why people make plans with other people, clean up, drive to a mutually agreed upon place, and then ignore present company while they interact with others in cyberspace. There was a day a woman would have walked out on a man for asking her to dinner, then spending the evening ignoring her and talking to someone else.
You don't always have a conversation because you need to or you need something. It's just because you enjoy talking to people, right?
I think here they're kind of getting at this idea that things always have to be a means to an end.
Yeah.
But talking and communicating and people, for that matter, they're simply not a means to an end. It's something a little more significant going on there.
She gives an example here. She and her husband were going out to eat at a restaurant, and they pass an alcove with low lights, and an alcove is just a recess or small area in a room. She's walked by this area, and it was beautiful there, it was a nice environment, and there were couples there, and they were radiant. They were basking in this
Sounds
glow.
Nice.
Of what? Their cell phones, right?
Oh, man.
Oh. So we have all seen this so many times. You go out to dinner. Maybe the people, hopefully it's not you, but the people beside you, maybe it's a couple out on a date, and they're both in their cell phones. What is that about, Zach?
Well, clearly, this is one of those really good concrete examples just highlighting kind of how distracted a lot of us are, and that kind of the cell phones or our different digital devices could be distracting us.
Yeah, all right. And she uses some words here. The couples are radiant. It's kind of funny. You don't expect her to say cell phones there at the end. They're really happy. They're basking in the glow. You think of, like, I don't know, being out in the sunshine and you're just enjoying that. It's a great feeling to be out there and enjoying the nice sunny weather. But here, they're enjoying the glow of their cell phones, Manya.
That makes me sad because this is something you can do at home by yourself. You don't have to be in a nice fancy restaurant with your friends.
Yes. Now,
looking at your
phone. We're being kind of hard on people, but we've probably all done that at some point. Maybe you try not to. And sometimes maybe it's okay. And maybe there are different reasons for it. But I just think as a general principle, it's kind of a strange phenomenon.
It certainly is. And I think that's a great word for it, phenomenon, because I found it interesting that it's kind of become a touchy issue with people insofar as, you know, having these opinions on should you or should you not be on cell phones in public. And because it really does, I think for one thing, there are safety issues, right? Whether it's driving or it's even just walking along the sidewalk and keeping your head down.
Right. But when you said safety, I thought of something else. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you feel safe by pulling your cell phone out and looking at that because you don't really want to have a conversation with
socially safe.
Maybe you feel like you're in an awkward situation or you're tired of talking. Maybe you're more of an introvert like me. You feel like, oh, I just pull out my cell phone and like, I don't have anything really I want to look at, but I'll just go in there and see what's happening on Facebook or something. And so but that's not really a good thing to live by or do very often. So she continues on and she says she doesn't understand why people make plans. They go to this nice restaurant. They get all dressed up and they have agreed on where to go. She describes as a mutually agreed upon place. And then they ignore present company. They ignore the person that they're sitting across from, Manya.
I know. I am in the opinion of when you go and hang out with your friends, you should really put your phone away.
Yeah.
Because you set aside time to go do that.
It's kind of rude. I mean, some people these days, maybe they don't think it's rude, but a lot of people, I think, still think, oh, it's kind of rude if you're out with one other person and you have your phone out.
I'd say it's definitely rude. Again, that's my opinion. But I think the point is, too, clearly there's a disconnect if your claim is that you're talking with someone in cyberspace, as the article mentions, but then you have a real person in front of you. So, I think that it will quickly slide into the fact that maybe there's something else going on. Mm. We're kind of, you know, shifting our focus for a reason. And it could be, like yesterday's article mentioned, a spiritual reason.
Yeah. Or maybe they've been together all day and they have nothing else to talk about. But I don't know. I don't think that's probably the case for most people, though. Well, there was
the point is a little more conversation, please.
That's right. That is right. And then she gives another example that, you know, back in the day, you know, a woman would have walked out on a man for asking her to dinner and then spending time at dinner on their phones. They would have not tolerated that, Manya.
Of course. I mean, if you ask somebody out, it's with the intention, we're going to spend some quality time together, and that's not quality time.
Again, quality, that word keeps coming up. It's an important word in life. We need to do things, we need to have a certain quality of life. We need to have quality time with others, and we need to communicate well with other people. Well, next we're going to learn more about how the writer grew up, and she's going to make a point using her own life story. Let's find out about that in our last reading for today.
I grew up in a family of talkers, as did the husband. Both sets of parents often had friends over for the evening to have dinner, play cards, or simply sit outside on a warm night and talk. They talked and laughed and teased and talked some more, voices drifting through open windows hours after we'd been sent to bed. I'd lie awake listening, thinking, what grown-up fun that must be to talk and laugh with your friends long after dark. I thought to myself, I'll do that someday. We do. But not as often as we once did.
All right. The writer of this article, she says she grew up in a family of talkers. Zach and Manya, did you grow up in a more like a quiet family, or does your family talk a lot?
My parents talk a lot. I'm the quiet one. I just listen. But I was always dragged into social events and
all right.
People just talk.
I can relate to that. All right, Zach?
My family, I would describe them as talkers. I wouldn't say, you know, obnoxiously so or over the top or anything, but yeah, we all like to talk.
All right. Well, I am not a big talker. I know I'm talking a lot today, but, you know, of course I need to talk. There wouldn't be a radio program if we all just sat here.
I'm enjoying this conversation.
Okay,
thank you for talking.
But, you know, I did grow up, you know, like, some of my family, they like to talk, some don't, so it's kind of divided. I think, for me, I enjoy a meaningful conversation. There are few things more satisfying to me than a really meaningful conversation. So I do like to talk, but not all the time. Anyway, so she grew up in a family of talkers, so did her husband. And then she goes on into this example of when, you know, she was younger, her family had friends over, and people would just play games, and they'd have dinner, and, you know, the kids would be in bed, and she would hear voices drifting through the open windows. You know, drifting means that she could hear the sounds. It wasn't really loud, but it would kind of just make its way into her room. And she kind of thought, oh, when she was an adult, she would do that too, right?
You know, it's interesting. When I first read this kind of description that the author gives us, immediately I was just trying to think about the last few social interactions that I had people over, or that, you know, what was that like? What was that get-together like? Was there a lot of just talking, or were we in front of a TV? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, and there are some major contrasts. So I can relate to what she's talking about.
That's right. Things have changed. She's thought to herself, I'll do that someday. Talking about staying up late and talking to friends, having those good conversations. And how does she end this article, Manya?
She says, we do, but not as often as we once did.
That's right. So people are busy. They're still having conversations, maybe in different forms. But I think this topic brings up the point, are we really connecting with people in a meaningful way? And if we're not, how can we do it? A better job of that. Well, we are all out of time. Thank you for joining us for our lifestyle article this month. We hope you will join us again next time here on Advanced Studio Classroom. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.